efforts we've made in the past to ensure local hire by statute have been overbroad, and they have never been narrowed, as this bill is narrowed, exclusively to public projects funded with public money. Specifically, in my most recent memo, I believe you have a copy of it, I cite several cases where local hire efforts succeeded because the state's law only pertained to public works projects and only involved projects that were funded by state money. The state was not attempting to, nor is the state in this instance passing a law that would require everybody, regardless of whether they negotiate a PLA or not, to ensure local hire. So that's why I'm confident that this is our best chance yet to secure a local hire in a legally defensible matter. Are there any other specific legal points that you would care to... I would like to mention that some people have been very concerned. In fact, I can predict a concern which is not honest and not accurate, that requiring use of a union hiring hall would discriminate against non-union members. And for those of you who are unaware, several years ago, the United States Supreme Court passed a case that prohibits a union from discriminating on the basis of union membership. And so for the past few years, unions have no longer have the right to prevent non-union members from signing their out-of-work list, and in fact must treat non-union members in the very same way they treat union members. Instead of joining the union, a non-union member who wishes to secure work through union hiring hall just pays a fee. He or she is no longer required to join. So in practicality, if the state were to build a widget factory and the project labor agreement needed X number of carpenters by virtue of this PLA that had been negotiated, the state would put a notice up in its unemployment office saying any carpenters who want work, union or non-union, go down to the carpenters hall and sign up on the list, and the first in will be the first out, and be on notice that in order to secure work for this job, the union may require you to satisfy residency standards. And that's the way the project will work. Before I babble on too long, I'd like to pause and see if at this point there are any questions I can answer.
Senator Adams?
I don't have many questions of the people that make the presentation about this piece of legislation. Just have the smell of greed in it, and I think it has a lot of problems. I would request that the chairman allow me to take this one in subcommittee. I'd like to look at the binding arbitration parts of this, where it lifts up the competition bidding procurement, and if it says that it saves the state of Alaska money, that's baloney, but I'd like to look at that and also look at the equal protection problems that this piece of legislation bringing. A friendly amendment on page 3, lines number 3, to put, instead of $7 billion into that, just to make a friendly amendment to this piece of legislation. And I don't agree with this process. I think this is a terrible piece of legislation. I don't think this administration supports something like this. I think we should work within the Alaskans, whether you're a union or non-union. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would gratefully request that this piece of legislation please come into a subcommittee consisting of me.
Jack?
In light of your friendly comments, I'd like to respond with equal warmth. I would like to note that I would appreciate your concerns if they were accurate. I have a hard time seeing anything greedy about a bill that's optional, with all due respect, Senator. I also have attempted to provide notice that the bill in no way would preference or give any priorities to union members over non-union members. That's simply a fact. That's not a fact that union members are particularly happy about, but by law, if any project were done in accordance with this piece of legislation, it would be impossible for a union member to be preferenced. I don't know why you're skeptical about it, but I would like to see where you might find in the bill language that would require that.
Senator Adams, I will reconsider your request after we've had time to have a, we're out of time, but we're going to have the administration position and a full hearing when we've got the time to do it, and we'll reconsider your request and your questions at that time. But we haven't really got a lot of time to deal with other people that would like to testify on this legislation. I know the administration wants to testify. So unless we got 5 more minutes if somebody wants to testify or if you have further comments,
Well, I would just like to say in closing that the bill has undergone a great deal of scrutiny by the Senate and in other committees, and all of the legal challenges that are contained in your packet, all of the legal accusations about the potential problems that the bill poses, have since been struck down by the court system. In your packet, you have a position paper by Mr. Cummings from the Department of Administration, and you have a position paper from the AGC, both of which threaten and raise the specter of these horrible legal flaws, particularly the AGC's opinion piece cautions against passing this legislation because of a lawsuit they filed against the city of Seward, which they expected to win. Well, they didn't. They lost. And several weeks ago, the United States District Court for the District of Alaska essentially rejected every one of the legal arguments set forth by the AGC and Mr. Cummings in their respective position papers. And since the purpose of this committee is to address the legal aspects of this bill, I think it's important for you to note that none of the legal concerns that are contained in your packet are viable any longer, except the one that I attempted to address, and I think the only legitimate and legally valid opinion is that of Ms. Kramer, who was simply concerned about the tendency of our Alaska Supreme Court to be overly cautious in looking at residents' preference schemes. But with that closing, I would hope you would read the last memo that I supplied, which does give you some recent legal updates on two federal district court cases upholding exactly this kind of arrangement when entered into by the Federal Atomic Energy Authority for the building of the Knoxville Atomic Energy Plant in Tennessee, and by our district court in Alaska for the construction of the Seward transmission line under a project labor agreement. So it's being done by the federal government in Tennessee and by the city of Seward in Alaska, and in both cases, legal challenges to the arrangement have failed.
Thank you. Okay, if we don't have anything further to come before us, we will adjourn. We'll go back to this legislation, Senator Jaroff's legislation, my bill that was on the calendar, and we'll be setting up next week's schedule. Thank you.